it hard.
Good morning. Welcome to Gales Creek Church. Here and out in the wonderful world of the network, right? I want to welcome you to a special day today. We have Dan Kroom among us. We have Vicki among us. We have all of you among us. And today is a day to glorify God, eh?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Announcements. We have a flyer added in here. In your bulletin, you'll see a note for Paul Baker Celebration of Life coming up here in February 11th. Mark that on your calendar. Is there any other announcements that we want to read the board, it says. Prayer meeting, please. Yes, we have a groupie prayer that is awesome to get online. And that is on Wednesday. Thank you for the proctor here. I need that as much as possible. If you have prayer requests, get on the group meet. Or contact Teresa, contact Debbie, anybody here within the church. We'll get the word passed on to pray. Are there any others that we need to do? Yeah, there's... Gleaners is here on Wednesdays. Food pantries on Wednesday. That's 10:55 in the morning. So I think, the community potluck is on hold until Sherry is recovered. And so we'll be patiently looking and waiting for that and praying that Sherry. Absolutely. And our potluck, our monthly potluck, will be resumed in February, the second Sunday of each month. Next is February the 12th. And that's it. There's Paul Baker Celebration of Life. Thank you, Debbie, for posting that. Is there any other announcements that we need to make? Dan would like to make an announcement.
You're going to do a body scan to find out where the cancer is and where it's going. Anyway, I would just like to have some prayer for that. By the grace of God, I'm still here.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Not used to doing the opening prayer, but I'll be glad to. God, I have a heavy heart. Some of you know that a friend of mine has passed away into glory. And that's Dean Pate, the Dean Pate family. Father God, we are so blessed, Lord, by what you have given us and shared with us. This building, our relationship with you, our relationship with each other in you and through you. God, we pray for your service today, Lord, that it really glorifies you. I pray, O Lord, that you touch Teresa, Lord, as she's studying, she's prepared for what she's going to share your heart to our hearts. God, to you be all the glory and the praise. Amen.
So we can stand and do the call to worship. It's in Luke 1. We can say that together. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High.
the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end.
All right, time to sing.
Sheep of his hand, just the sheep of his hand. Come and see the glory of the Lord. Come behold the Lamb. Come and know the mercy of the King. Bowing down before Him. Come behold the Lamb. Come and sing the praises of the King, bowing down before Him. For He is Lord above the heavens, Lord of all loves you. Oh, how
Good morning, church family. For those of you that are out there on the internet and join us later, just a reminder, we have Tithely for online giving if you're not able to be here in person. You can get that from the church website if you want, galescreekchurch.com. So, other than that, it's a privilege to give back from what he's so abundantly. Lord, thank you for the finances you bring into our lives. Thank you for places to live, ways to get back and forth between jobs, and jobs to do, even when we aren't officially signed up to do one. Lord, thank you for the privilege to give back to you merely a portion that you will return to us. Endlessly more. Amen. Now, of course, for my favorite part, we get to be family and share our needs and our burden and our blessings with each other. And I'll start. Claire is at home today cleaning. Ouch. She had some tummy pain that built up over a month, and x-rays showed that she was impacted. So, Sarah's at home supporting Claire. And Dawson is and Landon's supporting her too back there. He's talking about it. So, some of you are old enough to know what going through that is like. Some of us are old enough to know what going through that like as a routine is. So, prayer for little Claire. So she's not here. Sarah's with her. Anybody else? We got a praise. So Teresa is praising God that her brother is back home. Oh, no, son is back home. A little different there. Her son is back home and had a good tour. And you had some really good time with him. And he's happy and healthy. And what more could a mama want? That's right. What more could a daddy want? Brother Dan. Dan's praising God for having a strength of mental acuity through the 6 months of chemo so far, and keeping you strong. And Dan just says, give him a chance, and he will meet your needs. Amen. Just give God a chance. Jeremy? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. That's right. So Jeremy's got two praises. One is that they have a new car, a new family car, which they've needed for quite a while. So thank you, Lord, for making that happen. Jeremy's dad, Bill, back there, is giving the double thumbs up, so I know the praise goes farther. And then a praise that he's going to end up getting a new school building to work in. Which school do you work at, Jeremy? Cornelius Elementary. And some of you knew in the last bond measure that went through, that building is so old it was going to get replaced. So Jeremy's excited about getting to work in a new school that's his old school. Anybody else have a prayer request or praise to share? Josh. Josh, just praising God for a new year. Absolutely. And that we're happy, we're healthy, we have a place to live. He meets our needs, right? And sometimes we think our needs are so much more than just what they truly are, right? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I went through this Christmas and I'm like, what do I really need for Christmas? Hugs from kids, hugs from a wife, a few attaboys from my boss. I don't need anything else except Jesus. That was it. Mike. So he's still in the employment process, though, right? Still searching? Oh, they hired him that day. God is good. So Mike's son went to go for a job that then didn't exist when he got there. And then the neighboring company hired him on the spot. So God is good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bill.
Yes. Third and search for the DEP family. Mm-hmm. I know it's important. There's a lot of us there with the family.
Yeah. Yes. So continued prayer, positive thoughts, lifting up the Dean Pate family as Dean has now passed on and gone to glory. And yeah, just lifting them up in your thoughts and prayers. A praise. Right. And that for once, those dates don't actually conflict with my family planning. So here's hoping I can go. I love men's retreats. Slow down. Just slow down and let, yeah, just slow down, hang out, let God, right? Women, women's retreat, slow down, hang out, let God, right? Yeah. I want to lift up my father-in-law, Lou. I haven't mentioned him a little bit lately, but you know, he does live with us. And the lupus has still got a good hold on him, and cognitively he's slipping more and more. And so continued prayer for him. He's becoming a lot of work. We applied for Medicaid, got denied. I don't know why, because the only income he has is Social Security. So we got to go back and look at what happened in the application process. So prayer for us to go through all that again and to prevail, getting him some more help. He's at the point where when we leave and we come home, we're not sure how he's doing when we get home. So we need someone to check in on him and make sure he's eating and taking his meds in the morning. So we just need a little more help. So prayer that that can all work out, how God would have it work out. Any other... Are you trying to figure out that answer before leaving the hospital type thing?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So prayer for Lori and her siblings and continuing to deal with mom, who's in the hospital, getting the help she needs, but needs to come back out into some assisted living supported care situation. So prayer that can all get figured out between the siblings, satisfactorily with mom, and mom be taken care of like she needs it. Kim. Oh, Kim's asking for prayers for her care dog, Gizmo, service dog Gizmo, who is having some heart trouble and is going to have to go back in to be looked at by the doctors. So prayer for Gizmo, prayer for Kim, that her heart can be peaceful through this as well. Yeah, he came out here and we're all staying up till 10 or 11, want to play Monopoly, and he's all, you know, because he's 3 hours ahead. And so, yeah, my brother Tony is kind of back on track, back at work now. So it was great to see him over Christmas break. Nice to have a house guest. Anybody else? Okay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to do a special prayer following that. Father, Lord, thank you for blessings you have given just because of who you are. Your protection over us every day in ways we don't know, in ways we don't see, in ways we'll never perceive. But your grace and mercy over us keeps us protected, and we thank you for being that in our lives. We love you, God. And we pause now to do so with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all of our strength. Thank you for being God. Trustworthy in all situations. Forgive us, Lord, if we missed a divine appointment this week, Lord. Forgive us if we were short with a coworker. Lord, forgive us when we thought ill of someone. Lord, forgive us when we spread gossip. Forgive us when we had a snap judgment. and restore in our heart your love for everyone else, that we treat all with unconditional positive regard and set healthy boundaries at the same time. Lord, thank you for the blessings you give, for new vehicles, for jobs, for families, homes, finances, friendships, new relationships, opportunities to witness, even if unbeknownst to us. And Lord, now we ask that you continue to walk alongside situations of health, situations of finance. Lord, for those that are excited about a new building for an old job, for those that are excited about getting a job, Lord, for a family that's in the hospital and needs to come home or to a new home. Lord, guide all of the decision makers through these processes, Lord, that the best outcomes happen for your servants, or at least the ones that need to happen, whether we know or not. Help us remember that you are fully trustworthy through these moments. Lord, we thank you for a new year. A brand new year, a fresh start that you give us every morning, but there's something about a new year to remind us even more so of that. We thank you for battles with cancer, Lord, and trusting you through them, and that our spiritual growth can always grow through every trial we go through, and from the witnesses of those doing so. Lord, we ask for companions like Gizmo. Lord, you made dogs kind of special because they kind of just can read us and know us and respond to us. And Lord, thank you for little Gizmo. And Lord, help the doctors figure out what needs to happen for Gizmo right now, and give Mike and Kim peace about every step they must go through. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. And now, Teresa's going to lead us in a special prayer. We have Brother Dan with us, so we're going to anoint him.
Pastor Ivan, if we could, as we did last week after church, if we could gather around Brother Dan, lay hands on him, and I'll bring the mic out. Just in a prayer for him. He's going to be going back to the doctor to get a new assessment to see how things are progressing, if he's getting better, if they need to do different types of treatment. So let's pray for that. And, okay, Brother Bill, you'd like to pray? You may have to come a little bit closer to the mic. I don't know if the cord is that long. Thank you for leading the prayer.
Great God, moments like this, we trust you even more. God, we love Dan. We love him so much. You love him so much that you gave us his only begotten Son. Father God, we pray, O Lord, that as we are placing our hands upon Dan, your hands are wrapped around him with your Holy Spirit. Give him strength, Almighty God. Give him comfort, Almighty God. May we claim the victory in you right now, Jesus Christ. Thank you, all great and almighty God. Amen.
And Lord, we lift up his medical team. Guide them. Show them what to do, how to take care of our dear brother. In Jesus' name we pray it, Lord. And I pray a blessing on all of his family, his wife, his dear brother who comes and takes care of him, visits him every day. Thank you, Lord God, for such a body. Thank you for brothers and sisters in Christ. We glorify you this day, and we thank you for being faithful to us for caring about our dear brother. Bless him, Lord God, in his journey. And we thank you for it. Let him be a light. Let him be a witness until the very end. We bless your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for praying. I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Ivan. He's going to pray for our youth and lead us in our praise song, too.
All right, kiddos. Oh, wait, Dan. We love you too, Dan. On the count of three, everybody, we love you, Dan. All right, little hallelujah, come on up here. Come on, Landon. Yep. Your brother does like airsoft. He's quite into that. I don't know if you guys will know this song or not, because I don't think I've seen this one to you too often.
I don't know why Gizmo has to go to the vet. I don't know what's wrong with Gizmo.
Oh, maybe you can ask Kim later nicely. Maybe Kim will share, because you have a service dog too, don't you? What's your dog's name?
Molly.
Molly, that's right.
But she's also actually my therapy dog.
Yeah. Okay, let's sing our song. I'm going to sing it. You can learn it. You ready? Okay, and everybody else can join in. You ready? There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its words. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe. Who in each sorrow fares a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Dear Lord, thank you for coming to us as a child, so we could come to you as a child and with simple-minded, clear-headed choices say, thank you for loving us, and we love you so much because you first did to us. Lord, thank you for loving these children before they were ever a twinkle in the eye of their parents, and thank you for loving them every step they take, watching over them, and keeping their path straight when we can't be there. Lord, watch over and protect them every step of the way with your grace and mercy. And give that same grace and mercy to all of their teachers that teach them, including Sunday school ones. Amen.
Now, children's church can be the best. Hello. So again, good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here with us today. Welcome to our worship experience, and it's good to see such wonderful faces today. God is so good to us. And yeah, amen. And we're going to take another look at a portion of scripture that highlights the birth of Christ. It's the passage of the travelers from the east. You know the story well. It turns out they were following a star which would lead them to the Messiah. So let's see what we can learn from their journey. Follow along with me in Matthew chapter 2, whichever translation you would like. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation today. Matthew chapter 2, we're going to start with verse 1. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." Now, King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called the meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is this Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said. "For this is what the prophet wrote." And so they read from scripture to him. "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." Remember, we talked about God being the shepherd for his people. And then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men. And he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him," he said, "come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." Now, after this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. Listen to this, verse 11. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And when it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Amen to God's word. It's a fascinating story. All of the things that we glean around the arrival of the Messiah. This little baby is causing such a disruption in the lives of people. Oh, but it's a good disruption. We talked about Mary and Joseph, how they had to deal with the pressures of having the Messiah and all of the things that went on, the gossip. Oh, yeah, holy child, sure. How does she get fregos without being with her? Yeah, whatever. Who's going to believe that story? All of those things happening. And then supernatural encounter with God himself. God sends angels to shepherds, his representative, a symbol that he uses for how he cares for his people Israel. He sends the shepherds to go see the baby for themselves, and then they go and tell it to others as they go back to tend to their flocks. So today we see another set of people also impacted by the arrival of the Messiah. Now, I know, because we have songs and all kinds of pictures of the story of the three kings. And of course, some people have assigned three names to represent the givers of the three types of gifts. But please note, the songs, the names are fiction. Based in reality, but nevertheless, fiction. We are allowed to be creative in our storytelling so that we recall the facts. That's the beauty of a story. It helps us to remember what were the facts, what really did happen. The challenge, however, Brother Bill, is not to confuse the creative embellishments with the actual facts. Okay? Those three names given were created by people later in history. Those are not the guys' names. And the fact that people always say it's three gifts. It's really not that either. Or just three kings. They're not kings. But we'll get into that in a moment. Well, because I believe we talked about this last year, because this is the season of Epiphany. When the wise men arrive and they see, this is the Messiah. That's the time when the Magi locate the toddler Jesus and they visit him bearing gifts. Historians estimate the group of travelers reached Jesus when he was a toddler, not an infant like the shepherds encountered on the night of his birth. Now, again, there are lots of Christmas cards, cartoons, all kinds of things that have the Magi there along with the shepherds and mom and dad. It's like, no, that didn't all happen the same day. The wise men don't get there till years later. So Jesus is probably like two or three by the time they actually encounter him. So that's what happened on that night. The shepherds got to see him, but not the wise men. So you see, this group of men from the eastern foreign land were astrologers of their day. They weren't actually kings. They studied the stars. They advised royalty and nobility. So people, rich people, came to them for information because they would read the stars and look for discernment and understanding. They were not kings, as we fondly refer to them. They also read sacred texts. We talked about this last year, of other nations and of other people, such as the people of Israel, which is why they knew the scripture. They were like, this is the star for the king of Israel, the king of the Jews. Let's go follow this star and meet him. So they knew scripture, even though they themselves were not Israelites. So when they first noticed the star, their research on which star it was began. Because if you know anything about astronomy, planets, they rotate and stars rotate, and you can't see all of the constellations every single day all year long. They come into prominence during certain times of the year and certain seasons. So when they see this star, they're like, is this a new constellation? What is that a part of? Let's go see what this is about. Has anyone named this star? Because you know we do that too. We name the planets, right? We name the constellations. So they start their research. Is this a new one? Is it in its usual orbit? Its visibility? What star is this? We're unfamiliar with it. And so they searched their own sacred texts and that of others, and that's when they discovered the promise of Yahweh to his people. They now connected that new star to the coming of the Israeli Messiah. And since he was coming, they wanted to welcome him and present appropriate gifts, hence the gold, because that's the sign of the king, right? So the Magi most likely traveled with a large group of folks from a Persian astrological community, and the gifts recorded in scripture represent the kinds of gifts that they gave. It's not necessarily a list that suggests exclusivity. They didn't just give gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Those were the most significant ones because of what they meant. And they probably brought other things along with that, right? That's what you do when you are giving, when you are honoring those of nobility, those who are kings and queens. When you bless royalty, you bring them certain things. And so it probably wasn't just three people. It was a group of astrologers that traveled together because this was their science project, if you will. Let's go see this new king that has been born. And so they bring those gifts to honor him. Isaiah 60 actually foretells how the Messiah will be honored. So way back in scripture, again, this is why we know God is faithful, because he promises, I mean, way before Jesus is even born, through his prophets, of how it's going to happen, what's going to go down. And so we read in Isaiah 60 of how the Messiah will be honored. The gold presented to Jesus, as you know, acknowledges Christ as royalty because he is king of the Jews. The frankincense is an aroma used in perfumes that represented the infant's divinity. So that's why they gave him the frankincense. He is divine. He is of God. And then the myrrh was an Arabian aroma used for embalming. So that spoke to his impending death. One day, this man was going to grow up and die. And they blessed him with something to represent his mortality. They even knew, again, reading scripture, that he was born to die. But it's not the gifts that we should marvel at, but the fact that non-Jewish people have traveled to not merely welcome the infant, but they bow down and worship him. So can you get your minds around that? They're not even Jewish people. They don't care about some Messiah. That's their God. But yet here they are from a completely foreign land, recognizing, seeing that celestial body up there going, huh, what star is that? What's that about? And they go and research, connect it to scripture. This is from the God of Israel. He said that he was going to do this. Let's go and welcome that child. And when they go and welcome him, they bow down and worship him. Not even their God. Yet they recognize he is divine, and they must worship. This proves God's intention from before the beginning, when he even spoke creation into existence, before he created man and woman in his image. God already knew, I am designing a universe that I am going to be in relationship with. And it's all of the universe. It's all of humanity. It's not just these people over here or those people over there. I want to be in relationship with them all. And so he sits down and he plans a way for all of us to be in right relationship with him. This is what is significant about those people from the East who come and worship the baby. God is saying, I am the God for everyone, not just Israel. Paul explains the end result of God's salvation plan. He calls those who come to faith who were non-Jewish, brothers and sisters in Christ, through adoption. Now, I don't know if you've ever fostered kids, or maybe you've adopted kids. You might even be adopted. What it means to be adopted is you're not born into that family, right? Mom and dad have a baby, they conceive a baby, and that child is naturally born and carries the surname of the parents. But when you have been adopted into the family, somebody else gave birth to you. You have somebody else's last name. But nevertheless, we love you as if you're our own. We raise you as if you're our own. And that's what Paul explains. Once you become a child of God, guess what? Your last name doesn't matter anymore. Your past, that don't matter anymore. Because now you're a part of the family of God. And so Paul says, this is what happens. This is why we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I'll tell you a funny. When I first started being here at Gales Creek, I always call, in the black community, we always say, brother and sister so-and-so. And I know some of the people here were just like, why is she calling me brother so-and-so? I'm not used to being called sister. That's like, isn't that the Catholic way of doing things? If you're sister so-and-so? Yeah, no. Here in the scripture, right here, it tells you we're brothers and sisters in Christ. So we call each other fondly to remind ourselves. So I can't just put my hand on my hip and get mad at Lori. I have to remember, she's Sister Lori in Christ Jesus. So I don't get to just talk to her any old kind of way, because she is a child of God. And I need to respect that. I need to honor it. This is why we call each other brother and sister. To remind ourselves who we are and who we are in relationship to one another. Love each other. Be good to each other, just as God is good to us. So let's go back to Paul when he writes to the church of Ephesus, chapter 3, verse 6. He says this, and this is God's plan, because God planned it way before he even created us. Both Gentiles, those who are not Jewish, and Jews, who believe the good news, share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. This is why the wise man came, to show us, to remember, it's not just for us who know God, it's for everybody. It's for all those people who live on those houses across the street and down the way and down the other way. It's not just for us. God is for everybody. So Paul is arguing salvation is not unique to the Israelites, because Paul was a Jew as well. He was a Pharisee, in fact. God's intention goes beyond Israel. In fact, God uses Israel to extend his salvation plan to go beyond Israel. He tells Abraham, remember this? Way back in Genesis, Genesis chapter 12 specifically. He says this to Abraham, who was then Abram. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. And listen to this. And you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families of the earth, listen to that, all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. Now see, Abram at that time didn't fully even comprehend what this God was saying to him. First of all, why are you asking me to leave where I know? These are my people. Why? Because I need you to come out of that. Abram follows, and then his name is then changed to Abraham, as we know him. Then he fathers the 12 tribes. It's fascinating what God does. Just using one man who is willing to follow God's will, to follow God's call, respond to it. And because of Abraham's faithfulness, all of us get to know who God is. All of us get to become children of God. It's not just for the Jewish people. It's not just for Israel. it's for everyone who will believe. It's a glorious thing that those who did not align themselves with Jews came to faith and believed the God of the Jews. That's what those wise men did. They followed the star. They didn't know who Yahweh was. I mean, they can read about, they read about him, but it wasn't their God. And when they meet his Messiah is when they come to faith. But what about King Herod? Because he's also in the narrative, right? Why is he included in this account? Because he doesn't sound like a friendly dude. Matthew portrays the king as desiring to meet this new king, so asks the Magi to share his location once they found him, right? But thankfully, because the wise men have a newfound faith in Yahweh, the God of Israel, they listen to the Spirit of God who speaks to them through a dream. God warns them, is that Herod? I know he looked like a nice dude and all. He's not trying to worship the baby. Do not go back that way. So they understand that and they go, oh, okay, well, we'll just take another route home. We don't have to go that way. Exactly. So they take the other route home and don't go by King Herod. The scripture reveals the true intention of King Herod. He is worried about being dethroned by this new king of the Jews, because recognize, that's his title. Herod is king of the Jews. So when he hears, what are you talking about? There's a new king of the Jews. Who's this? Right? See the hand on the hip? Who are these people? Even though that new king of the Jews is an infant, so he's got a long time to keep reigning before even the new one will come, but that's not what's in his head. He doesn't want to be dethroned by the new king. So this is why the Magi return a different way, and they don't share the location of the baby. And so Herod realizes, wait a minute now, it don't take that long to go to Bethlehem and come back this way. What are they doing? He realizes, they're not coming back. And so that's when he decides that he's going to kill all of the babies that might be around Jesus' age, 2 to 3 year olds and under, so he can get rid of that new king of the Jews. But we also need to take note, though, there's no historical record that contains the account of what we call now the slaughter of the innocents. Only here in the Bible is it stated. There are many things in the Bible that are recorded outside in other historical records, but the slaughter of the innocents is not. It's only in Matthew that you find the king decreeing that order. But regardless, even if the king did not call for the massacre of the toddlers and younger, there is much, much details in historical records that document the very violent nature of Herod the Great. That King Herod was something. So we really can't put it past him to have pulled a move like that, because he was a very violent king. He actually had his own family members killed. Because in his mind, like if he thought for a second you were trying to get his throne, he had you killed. It's like, dude, really? Those are your family members. Why would they be trying to dethrone you? But it doesn't matter, because that's who he was. He was not a nice guy. He was known for infamously his rage, his anger, and you don't want to be on his bad side. It's said he was so violent. So it could be that he had those babies killed. And if he had them killed, it would pale to the other heinous things that he did. So Herod was not a good guy, even though he was king of the Jews. But again, you go, yeah, that's a problematic dude. Why does God include this in scripture? Why is he even in that story? I think there's a lesson to be learned. Just like we learned from the wise man, that salvation is for all of humanity. I think there's a lesson to be learned from King Herod. It's a warning to the saints of God. God is telling us to not be like Herod. Don't be jealous of the newbies when they start attending service regularly. There's going to be some new and different people. They're not going to dress the same. They're not going to talk the same. They're going to look different. They're going to smell different. They belong to God. Don't get jealous or envious and say to them, oh, well, you're singing that song wrong. We don't read scripture like that. And that's not how we pray. Don't do that. It's going to be tempting because like Herod, you know, I've been a member of Gail's Creek for, you plug in the amount of years. You could do that real easy. But God is saying, don't do that. Don't do that. We have to embrace the new people, the new believers, with open arms. So despite the fact that God intends for everyone to be saved, you may be tempted to be annoyed by the new people. You may think, like Herod, that they are here to replace you, that your singing, your teaching, your serving days are over because you are no longer needed. That is a lie from the enemy. You are still needed. Who's going to disciple the new people? We still need you. The body of Christ needs each and every one of us. We all have a role to play. So please do not think, oh, well, now that they got these new people, I can sit back and chill. No, not exactly. Your role may change, it may shift, but you're still expected to show up and share your gifts for God's glory. So maybe, yeah, you don't have to play the piano every Sunday. I'm using Sister Carolyn for an example, but you can mentor those and teach those who want to play the piano every Sunday. There, you can teach people new songs so they can be the new praise team. Maybe on second Sundays, they will get up and do the praise, and then you get to sit down and be in the audience. There's space for all of us. Don't become jealous like Herod and not want to make space for God's salvific plan. He wants to save everybody, not just his favorite people. He is here for all of us. And God intends for you, for me, and all the people who are willing to be joint heirs with Christ to come, because all are welcome. And that's what God's love and salvation plan is all about. We need not mistreat the new believers and the new members because we view them differently. Yeah, they are different. But so are you and I. We're different. And God loves us just the same. We may see ourselves as Israelites, God's original chosen people. And those new people are those other believers. Don't do that. Let's not kill their newfound joy in Jesus, like Herod was accused of killing the infants. Instead, let's be like God, extending our love and our fellowship to those who are following the star to Jesus. They are, after all, our siblings in Christ, no matter how they come to Christ and what their backgrounds might be like. Just like we have different backgrounds, God forgave us and welcomed us into the body of Christ. Just as the Magi were led by the star to the Son of God, so God's Spirit is leading us and others to the Son of God. We have the opportunity, Gales Creek, to worship like the wise men and to invite others to know God and to worship Him, thus fulfilling God's plan. That's what He wants. Pray with me. Holy God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for blessing us with salvation. You have given us that sweet baby Jesus who grew up to become a man of God leading others to you. And then he was faithful to give his life. We thank you, God, for that sacrifice. We also thank you that he didn't stay dead. He actually rose from that grave with all power in his hand so that we too can live in glory with you forever and ever. To this we say thank you and amen. Use us, dear Jesus. Use us, dear God. Use us through your Spirit to be welcoming to others who need to know you, who are seeking you. Help this place to be a place of community where folks can gather in your name, where they can come and learn about who you are and who they are in Christ Jesus. We thank you for that wonderful ministry. Thank you for choosing to use us. We bless your holy name. We bow down and worship as the wise men did that day when they encountered the young one. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. It is the second Sunday of the month, and it is our tradition here at Gales Creek to observe communion. So what we will do is, I forgot who was my volunteer. Is that you, Brother Bill? Okay. Brother Bill's going to help me serve the body. So if you're at home and you want to participate in communion with us, gather your elements, but don't take them yet because we take them together. So I believe Sister Carolyn's going to give us some music in the background while we gather and serve. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Carolyn. And on that night, the reason we celebrate communion, we call it communion because it reminds us of the community in which we live. We are the body of Christ, brothers and sisters, siblings in Christ, all for God's glory. Why? because he sent his Messiah. And his Messiah died one day. He gave his very life for us. So as Jesus was with his disciples celebrating Passover to remind them of the Passover lamb that got them out of the land of Egypt, Jesus says to his disciples, "This is my body, broken for you. Eat it." And then he passed the cup. "This symbolizes my blood shed for you. Drink it." That night, Jesus explained, "I am that Passover lamb. Just as God got you out of slavery, out of the land of Egypt, I am setting you free from sin. We don't have to pay the penalty for sin because Jesus did it for us." So each month we celebrate and we remind ourselves, yes, it is Jesus who saved me. Thank you for breaking your body. Thank you for shedding your blood for me so that I can be a child of God. Stand with me. We have a closing song and then we'll have our benediction. Focus on that beautiful face of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Go, my dear brothers, my dear sisters, my siblings in Christ, knowing that God is with you. Your spirit is in you to strengthen you and to encourage you, to be a witness to you that you are a child of God and that you carry joy that the rest of the world needs. So don't forget that. Share your joy when you go out of this place this week. Lord, be with us as we go from this place, but not from your presence. We know that you are with us. Live in us. Use us for your glory. No matter where we are, we invite you to use our hands, use our feet, use our mouths, use our minds, all for your glory. Be with us until we meet each other again. We thank you, God, for doing it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.